Blog Talk Radio.
Want to say goodbye to your wireless carrier, but you can't? Either they trapped you in a long-term contract, or they've got you locked up paying off a phone. Sounds like a bad carrier relationship to us. T-Mobile can set you free. Now we'll pay off your phone up to $650 when you trade it in. Yep, every last cent. And if it's a contract holding you back, we'll take care of that too. How's that for a clean break? So get out of that bad carrier relationship. Just remember, it's not you. It's them. It's definitely them. Why wait? Ditch your carrier and their switching fees and switch to the Un-carrier today.
Pay off with trade-in credit and Visa prepaid card. Eligible trade-in, new device purchase, qualifying credit and service required. May take up to 8 weeks. See a T-Mobile store for offer details. Promotion card issued by MetaBank. Member FDIC. Card expires.
Blog Talk Radio.
Connected Show with your host, Nazeem Rashid. Nazeem is the author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, a how-to manual for all those wanting permanent change in their lives. It is also a guide to virtually go back in time and eliminate all negative feelings associated with your past experiences that have caused any level of difficulty in your present life. Nazeem has helped clients move from apathy to productivity, from codependency to loving themselves without attachment, from drug-addicted lifestyles to clean and sober positive examples, demonstrating what can be accomplished when one connects and stays connected to that which gives life. I am Dorothy Rashid, the co-host. Without any further ado, I bring to you Nazeem Rashid.
Well, all right. Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. Well, I am Nazeem Rashid. Thank you all for tuning in for another wonderful, fantastic, majestic show today. Show, yes, yes, yes. Well, it is another day in paradise. Another day in paradise here in the Phoenix, Arizona area in the good old USA. Yeah. Yeah, we have some new countries that have tuned in. Malawi has tuned in. Nigeria has tuned in. And we have, let's see here, I think there's the latest. Oh, India has tuned in, yes. Besides the other countries such as Bangladesh, South Africa, we got a couple in South Africa, actually. Austria, Australia, Canada, United Kingdom, Germany, Singapore, yes, yes, yes. So, welcome all into our Paradise One studio, where every day is a holiday and the party never stops.
Yay!
All right, fantastic. Yes, 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 my studio audience is growing and growing and growing, yes. All right, everybody can sit down now. Very good, yes. Welcome again to the Reconnected Show, which is based directly or indirectly on the chapters in my book, Reconnected. Now, we always have a nice prayer that blesses our program here, and so, like I mentioned always on this program, whatever name or reference fits your belief system will do just fine when I am mentioning God. Just know that we did not create ourselves and in knowing this reality, we can give attention and honor the source of our creation for guidance and direction. I'm using God as an universal theme and is not relegated to a particular religion or belief system. Mm-hmm. With the name of God, we thank you. We thank you for giving us good, healthy, joyous thoughts. Thank you for the good we have physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Thank you for the money we have been blessed to have, the wonderful financial future that awaits us because we deserve it, feel we are worth it, and feel that it is ours already. Thank you for the initial reasons we fell in love with our mates and the list of wonderful qualities that attracted us to them. Thank you for the fun we're having now and in the future. Amen. All right. For our show notes, we have Dorothy. Take it away.
We all have experienced disappointments in our past, and some of us have not reconciled those issues. In order for us to travel wonderfully on our healthy path of life, we have to release all unnecessary baggage that is preventing us from going full speed ahead. This is what Nazim Book Reconnected and this program is designed to do. Let us hear from you as we learn together how discovering the needs of our child self can make a substantial difference in our lives. Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, is available now at www.childsofabundance.com, amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, Jazzy Yoga Shop in Scottsdale, Arizona, Healthy Habits. Oh, by the way, my favorite health food store, Healthy Habits Health Food Store in Phoenix, Arizona. The chapters in the book and the themes of this Reconnected show are forgiveness, validation, self-esteem, visualization, self-image, communication and listening skills, optimism, gratitude, faith, spirituality, codependency and addiction, recovery issues, identifying and managing emotions. You can connect with Nazim using his email address in our book club at gmail.com. That's N as in Nazim, R as in Rashid, book club at gmail.com. Or his website, www.cloudsofabundance.com. You'll find information such as life coaching, book signing dates, webinars, and workshops. All life coaching is done through your phone, so you can have sessions with Nazim wherever you may be in the world. Life coaching is about removing the obstacles and encouraging you to go beyond your perceived barriers to the accomplishment of your dreams and aspirations. Life coaching is about results now and creating the future you want versus counseling that spends a lot of time in healing the past. Healing the past is also important and something Nazim does with his book and book-related events. It's time to be reconnected and time for the new you. Nazim?
All right. It is time for the new you. Yes, it is, the new you. Mm-hmm. Just imagine how you want that new you to be. Feeling, looking, you know, imagining, thinking, dreaming. Yeah, yeah. Whatever you want, just make it happen. Yeah, that's your new you. Mm-hmm. Well, the Reconnected Show is a personal growth program designed with your inner peace in mind. Yeah, that's very important. Your inner peace in mind. Isn't that important? Too many of us, we discount that. You know, we're always trying to make sure others are pleased and they have peace in their life, and we neglect the peace in our life. Yeah, well, this program is designed to make sure your inner peace is okay. Mm-hmm. And we want to magnify that, honor it. The discussions will be based directly or indirectly on the chapters in my book, Reconnected, How to Be Mentor to Your Child Self. This book contains a methodology for filling the many emotional voids experienced in childhood. You will learn to become a time traveler. A time traveler. Fun. Yes, traveling back to the time and place of your upbringing. Becoming a senior advisor, next door friend of the family, and mentor to your child self. Yeah, just imagine that. Looking into those little eyes of yours when you're 6 years old. See, this book is not like other books in this category. See, in the psychology field, you have what's called inner child therapy. And my book fits in that category, even though the approach is quite different from the other books or other approaches. You know, you have inner child, which is not the child self. The child self is that self, that flesh and blood self you used to be. Yes, when you have those pictures, bring them out. Those, when you're 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, that's what I'm talking about. That's the child self. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're playing books in this area, but they don't address this methodology. Absolutely. Yeah, you'll create the fictional character in my process, the mentor, you acting as the mentor to your child self. Just imagine having sessions with that little one you used to be. Yeah, talking to yourself in the car or any place. As you will address those negative events that you still carry with you and change the outcome to one of your desire. This way, you will create real internal change in your life and be free. Yes, be free of the negative effects of unresolved past issues. Let me say it again. Be free of the negative effects of unresolved past issues. That's so important. Now, there are other benefits, too. Mm-hmm. Parents who want new information for raising the best emotionally balance children possible, and validating your children, that's so important. I don't know why parents don't understand that part there. You know, it's important to validate your children. Validate them. Make them feel they're special. Yeah, make them feel they have some power and choice in their life somewhere. Yeah, give them responsibility so they feel they're needed. All right? And they're loved every step of the way. Yeah, very important. Matter of fact, I have a 3-part parenting video on YouTube based on my book. Just go to youtube.com and put in the search Reconnected, The Parents Manual. Again, Reconnected, The Parents Manual. Yeah, Reconnected, there are more benefits. Oh, yeah, a lot more benefits. Mentors who can appreciate additional tools for their mentees. Yeah, for mentoring programs. So maybe you can understand communication and listening skills better, or even addiction and codependency. Yeah. So all those things are very important for those of you who are mentors. And teachers also. Yeah. So they can learn how to become compassionate again. Some teachers have lost that because of all the politics of teaching. They lost how to really connect emotionally and empathetically with their students. Yeah. Couples, more benefits. Oh, yeah. Coming. Wanting a better relationship can also benefit from the personal growth tools being offered, such as communication and listening skills like I was just mentioning. Yeah. It's very important. And this will contribute to long-lasting, healthy marriages. Mm-hmm. More benefits. That's right. We're not done. Those in recovery can benefit from Reconnected, as I have over 100 pages dedicated to addictions, codependency, and recovery in my 12 Principles of Recovery chapter and Codependency chapter. Yeah. This recovery program is not just for those afflicted with drug addictions. Mm-mm. It's also beneficial to those suffering from anger, abuse, compulsive disorders, overeating, gambling, sexual and controlling issues. Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, these things are very, very important. As you're preparing to become a mentor to your child self, you have to clean up house first. Yeah, so if you have any of these issues, you have to deal with this first before you can help someone else. You can't give what you don't have, and you need to be the best example possible before you enter someone else's life as a mentor and example. That's very important. Be the best example possible, and that's what Reconnect is all about. Providing for you. Mm-hmm. Yes, to reconnect to the higher self of yours so you can always operate in the best fashion. So it's also for any individual who wants to consciously connect to their higher self, to spirit, source energy, to God. It's really multi-purpose manual, mentor's manual, parent's manual, teacher's manual, relationship manual, a human manual for the transformation of your negative experiences to positive memories, loving yourself at deep levels, and creating the life you have always desired. Here's my statement to you. I am committed to sharing practical tools with and supporting those who want and envision for themselves an abundant life, an empowered life, an independent thinking life, a spiritual life, yes, and a reconnected life. Well, all right. Now, all of you know that you regulars know we have a happy news segment on the show, and with that in mind, we have Dorothy at our international and national news desk. Take it away.
The title of today's article is Goodness is on the Rise. Could crime become extinct? Staggering figures show how crime rates have fallen by up to 70% in parts of the Western world. Murder, violent crime, robbery, and theft falling across Western nations. Crime wave that began in the 1950s in broad retreat in recent years. Increased policing and changing demographics among explanations. It's written by Carrie McDermott, published July 22nd of 2013. Crime rates in the developed world have plummeted over the last few decades. Startling new figures have revealed. Comparative statistics in the G7 nations show that many places are now safer to live than in the Halcyon tranquil days of the 1950s. And despite the economic crisis creating rampant unemployment and social breakdown in some Western cities, robberies, car thefts, and even murders have fallen substantially. In some cases, such crime has practically vanished. Cities have seen the biggest impact from the receding of the crime wave that swept the developed world in 1950, according to The Economist. While violent crime has fallen by 32% since 1990 across the U.S. as a whole, in the biggest cities, the figure rises to 64%. New York Times Square, once a hotbed of crime, is now a global tourist attraction, thronged with families. Police records and victim surveys indicate that crime against the person and against property has fallen in the majority of rich countries over the past decade. The fall began around 1991 in the U.S., with Britain experiencing the same trend around 1995, followed by a fall in the murder rate that began in the mid-2000s. In 2012, 86,000 cars were reported stolen in England and Wales. In 1997, that figure was 400,000. Wow, what a difference. Let me read that again. In 2012, 86,000 cars were reported stolen in England and Wales. In 1997, that figure was 400,000. In France, crime against property continued to rise until 2001, but has since dropped sharply by a third. In other Europe countries, the picture has even more positive. Estonia's murder rate has dropped from 70% by 70%, with robbery and car theft down almost the same amount. This is despite the fact a deep recession has seen unemployment creep up to 19% in Estonia, the report said. But what are the reasons behind the broad reversal of crime rates that have been climbing over the decades? A majority of crimes are committed by male offenders aged between 16 and 24, and the post World War II baby boom resulted in a ballooning in that age bracket 2 decades later. That impact is how long in the past. That impact is now long in the past, and in 2013, the population of Western countries is aging rapidly as people live longer. Some, despite the suggestion that demographics are behind the falling rate crime rate, with a Deputy Assistant Commissioner for London's Met TV, Mark Simmons, pointing out that the city is home to increasing numbers of 18 to 24-year-old men. Yet offenses continue to fall. University of Chicago economist Stephen Levitt, University of Chicago economist Stephen Levitt cites the legislation of abortion in the 1970s in America, a factor he credits with cutting the country's crime rate. Mr. Levitt argues that there were fewer children growing up in poverty and therefore fewer more likely to turn to crime. The fact does not explain why crime began falling in the U.S. before it did in Britain, where abortion was made legal earlier. Others have argued that the expanding prison population is evidence of fewer criminals on the streets, hence lower crime. The prison population in Britain doubled between 1993 and 2012, the economist says, increasing by almost the same level in Australia and the U.S. respectively. But other countries have reduced the number of prisoners behind bars and still seen a fall in crime. A bigger police presence in many cities has been credited with helping to rid streets of crime, along with modern technology and tactics that have transformed detective work from DNA testing to mobile phone tracking and surveillance cameras. All this adds up to a substantial deterrent to would-be criminals. Social changes also mean young people in many wealthy countries are likely to stay living with their parents and remain in higher education, all of which results in a generally better behaved generation. Britain's 18 to 24-year-olds are far less likely to drink or to have samples of illegal drugs than their predecessors a decade earlier, and that pattern is reflected across most European countries. Drug epidemics that blighted major countries, crack cocaine in 1990s America, heroin in Europe in the 1980s, have receded and crime rates with them. And the gentrification of inner city areas has seen neighborhood watch groups established and derelict areas cleaned up. Finally, some criminologists suggest the following explanation for the drop in crime, that offenders have fewer opportunities. Shops and businesses are increasingly security conscious, and the number of British homes have a burglar alarm rocketed by, and the number of British homes with a burglar alarm rocketed by half between 1995 and 2011. While many items that would once have been worth robbing in a house are no longer valuable enough to justify the crime.
Okay.
That's the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a long article, so if people want to read it again, I would just Google "business is on the rise, could crime become extinct?"
Yeah. Now, I want everybody to really focus in on the way the article is framed. And if we can turn some of the language around, we can actually get more of this higher consciousness that's going on here. Now, it says that figures show crime rates have fallen by up to 70%. All right, that really means that goodness has risen 70%. It's risen because, you know, you don't ever have a loss without having something filled in. There's no such thing as a void. And there's no void in the universe. Okay? Like you have a glass, okay? If you have a glass that's half empty is really a glass half full. You know, no such thing as having nothing there in the other half there, right? Right. So goodness is on the rise. Compassion, a higher sense of morality, higher sense of consciousness is actually on the rise here. And even though this person, his name is Kerry McDermott, who actually wrote the article, they're trying to explain logically, you know, scientifically, why the crime stats have decreased. All right? Now, we know there's also another fact that there were some monks that went to Washington, D.C., a high homicide, you know, rate city in the country, and they did an experiment. They took the crime stats at the time, and all the monks did was pray for peace in the city. That's all they did. Pray for peace in the city. They envisioned peace in the city. They did this. They left. The week after that, it was reported that crime had gone down significantly in that city. I don't have the exact percentages, but it was a significant drop after the monks left and during the time they were praying. So what happened? What happened there? In that case, if you look at all these things such as, you know, more cameras and, you know, the prison system and all that and so forth, that doesn't work in this scenario with the monks. They just went there and prayed. So when you have collective positive energy, see, being dispersed in any particular area, it's going to improve that situation. And right now, since we're saying that they're saying that the whole world is witnessing increase in goodness, all right, that says that people are seeing the benefits or seeing the results of their collective prayers, collective positive energies. We call it increasing the morphic field of positivity. All right? The Reconnected Show is a part of that process. We're part of that movement. There's other parts, other movements out there also that are contributing to increase in goodness throughout the world. We read an article some weeks ago about how Rwanda, I think less than 20 years ago, experienced a massacre that was, you know, that was, you couldn't see anything in history such as the massacre they had there. One group was killing with machetes, just whacking off, you know, another group, and dead bodies everywhere. Now, they're saying now, they're predicting within 20 years, that city will be poverty-free. Hear that? Poverty-free. All right? So, something's good is going on. Something good is going on. All right? So, when you are conducting good, when you are being charitable, when you are smiling at the cashier, you know, when you go through there, wishing her or him a great day, when we're actually sincerely, you know, wishing someone a great experience, you're helping that person out. They are receiving something great from you. You're helping yourself out. You're doing that for sure, which improves your self-esteem and self-assurance, and also you're helping the world out, contributing to goodness in the world. That's why it's very important for us to think good, act good, do good. You see? Yeah, create a change in society in some level or another. And this article is testament to that, you see, and so forth. So they really can't explain it. They have, you know, they're talking about the, you know, cameras and surveillance and the prison system being different and all that, and people having less opportunity to conduct themselves in a harmful way, you see. But what's going on is that more people are tuning in to the positive channel. And that's what's happening. All right, very good. Well, moving on, okay. Today's theme, finding your inner magnet. And this blends right into our topic today, finding your inner magnet. And by that, see, then you can do more. You can do more to create change in the world when you understand what you really have inside to create that change and to produce that change. Mm-hmm. Yes, you learn how to do, be, and have all that you want for yourself and your children with our friend and therapist, Midge Noble. Okay, today we're blessed again with With Midge as our guest speaker, this is a different topic for her on this show, as it will reflect the law of attraction that so many of us have heard about, especially with the hit book and DVD, The Secret by Rhonda Byrne. Many of us have heard and seen that. Mm-hmm. Today, Midge will address these areas. Becoming what you want to attract. Are you ready? Releasing regrets, resentments, rejections, forgiveness. Love yourself first. Ooh, what a concept. Validating yourself, modeling self-love to your kids. Wow, unheard of. Connect to source, God, creator, Yahweh, Allah. Yeah, connect to source, connect. Find your gratitude, create your life, visualizations, feelings and intentions. Very, very important topics. Ooh, a lot to talk about here. So without any further ado, we bring Midge on the air. Midge, are you there?
I'm here. Nice to hear you, Nassim.
Yes, we hear you loud and clear. It's so nice and wonderful to have you on the air again. It's so great because every time I post your picture and talk about you coming on, then people start, you know, start hitting the like button. Oh, yeah, about time.
Let me just say at the top of this hour that, one, we're not going to probably cover everything today, but that just gives me a chance to come back.
All right. I figured so.
So we'll take it as far as we can take it and as far as the Creator wants us to go, and then we'll just keep doing it later.
All right. That's how we roll in a Reconnect the Show.
That's right. That's how we roll.
Absolutely. Yeah, very, very, very good. Okay, yes. So, yes, maybe you've heard Midge on the show before, and as you know that, we'll take some time at the very end and talk about her show she has and her books out there and all that. And so we're going to jump right into this. You know, we got the find your inner magnet. What's all that about? Help us out, Midge. What's going on with that inner magnet business there?
Okay, so I also want to say that, of course, I have not developed all this. You guys know, as Nassim said, that The Secret has been out there. Oprah Winfrey has had it featured on her show. If you've read anything from Jerry and Esther Hicks and Abraham, they are the gurus of the law of attraction. And Brent Phillips is a new guy that I've been connecting with and reading about, and he takes the law of attraction and he scientifically breaks it down and talks a lot about blocks. And I'll mention that today, but please understand that Brent Phillips is the author of that, and he's the one that created that. So the inner magnet is all about what's inside of us and what are we drawing to us. If we want to attract amazing things into our lives, we've got to know what energy we're sending out into the world, because that's exactly what we're going to get back. So, for example, if you say to me, Midge, I need to borrow $1 million, and I'm going to smile sweetly at you, Nassim, and I'm going to look into my wallet, and I'm going to say, buddy, I would do it if I can, but right now I don't have it in my wallet. I don't have it in here. I can't give it to you.
Oh, now, really?
Really? So don't be calling me and asking me that, Nassim.
Oh, my God. I was just getting ready to do that. Oh, my.
I know you were doing that. Was on your list of things to do. But if I did have it, I could look inside my wallet. I could pull it out, and I could hand it to you, Nassim, and I would say, here it is. I have it. I'll give it to you. Now, I frame that because I want you guys to understand that that's what we're doing every single day from the inside out. Whatever we fill our heart space with, it's sort of like we've got this internal vessel, and whatever we're filled up with, if we're filled up with regrets, resentments, anger, hate, then when we interact with other people, that's all we've got to give. There's nothing more that we can share except for what's inside of us. So when I'm wanting to draw awesome things to me, I can't draw it to me if I'm sending out the wrong energy. If I'm sending out anger, resentment, hate, rejection, I'm going to find that back in my own experience. When we've talked before about child development and making sure that you're raising compassionate kids, we talk endlessly about modeling for your kids the right energy, the right words, how to embrace other people. because that's what we want to attract to our children. So they have to learn how to do that themselves. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Fantastic. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
you can call me anything. So we definitely have to make sure. Just call me anything. So we definitely have to make sure that when we're setting up something that we're trying to attract, and people will say, I want the $1 million. I want a fast car. I want a big house. And sometimes when we're doing that, we have, and Brent Phillips is great about this, he talks about that there are inner blocks inside of us generationally that cannot bring that to us because it's in there and we don't even know it's in there. For example, let's say that in my family of origin that we were extremely poor. And in my family, and this could be in my immediate family, my mom and dad, or it could be from my grandparents or even generations on back. But biologically, my family history may be one of poverty or from the Depression. And so the message is being passed down to Midge is we're never going to have enough. We have to only, we have to save everything. We have to, reuse things. We don't ever buy a name brand, and there's all this fear wrapped up in the lack that my family has generated from generation after generation. Now, if that message is passed down and we continue to repeat that message, then even when Midge all of a sudden in the year 2013 says, you know what, I want to build a cabin. I want to have $1 million. I'm going to set myself up with the law of attraction. I'm going to visualize. I'm going to put it out there to the universe, and I'm going to watch it come to me. And
all
it's
right.
Going to maybe, yeah, I know. I'm all about it. Hallelujah. But when it starts to come to me, all of a sudden my generational blocks will go, oop, put on the brakes there. You can't attract that. You don't really believe that you should have it. You don't believe that you're going to have it. And even if you do get it, you'll probably lose it because you've already got that generational block.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to know not only what energy we're putting out into the world, but we got to know what kind of downloads we've been having from generations on back. And you might say, well, how am I supposed to know what my great-great-four-time great-grandfather ever thought about money? Well, you can probably just look at how your family has evolved since then and whether or not your family is a family of energy and light and positivity. And if you don't come from that, if you're the only little light in your whole family, then you're the one that has to change the generation. It's up to you to turn it. And we can. You're not condemned to a period of lack, but you do have to make sure that you're ready to ask for what you're really wanting. And if you're not ready, you can ask, but you may not, and, because a lot of people say, the law of attraction doesn't work. I visualized and I asked for 10 years and I never got anything. But can you hear that? Can you hear the tone that they probably said it with that they didn't believe it could begin with?
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. So the inner magnet is all about getting your energy level up to a period of a place where you, one, are ready, truly ready from the inside out, but you're also putting out the right energy to the world to get things back. The thing that blocks us most, besides the generational messages of either lack or pessimism or prejudice or, all that stuff, is what we hold in our heart. So let's say that, we get into a relationship and we have lots of resentment for that person. And we may not speak it. We're really good about being in great-looking relationships, but we don't really talk about the real issues. We look at our spouse sweetly, and we smile and act like what they're doing is not driving our last nerve of the truth.
Right.
Right? But if we hold that resentment in our heart, and our spouse may never know it in their head, but they can feel it energetically. And so that connection then becomes an issue between the two of us. And what that does then is it creates this disconnect from source. Because if we're not connected in love at all times, we're taking a step back. So when we put something out there to attract and it starts to come to us, but we're blocking it or we're taking a step back, that's why it's not coming. So that's why your chapter on forgiveness in your book is so important. Because like you said in your book, this is the first place to start, and you're absolutely correct.
That's right.
To start forgiveness, because you have to clear the karma, you've got to clear the energy, you've got to clear your heart, or you can't put anything else in there. I tell kids all the time, and I think we've talked about this on the show, but that if I had a cookie jar and I filled all my jar up with cookies, then I could hand you some. But if my cookie jar, and we're saying cookie jar as far as your heart, if my heart is filled up with poop, then that's all I got to give you. So I got to clear that out. I got to make sure that my heart is pure, that I have compassion, that I have kindness, that I have love. And when I do that, and I keep myself vibrating at that very high level of love energy, then I'm on my way to bringing to me whatever it is that I'm wanting to attract, whatever that can be. And, you know, I don't believe at all that the depression has to lift or that my bank account has to get bigger for me to attract the things that I truly am attracting, because I believe the universe can find a way. And I have an example for you.
All right.
My whole life I have wanted to, you know, do exactly what I need to do for kids and for animals. Those are my two great passions in this world, to enlighten kids and to help them love themselves, and also to make sure animals and children both are taken care of and not being abused. So I wanted to have a no-kill shelter in my community, because we still gas dogs at our shelter to the rate of about 7,000 animals a year.
Mm.
So this is a you know, one of those stories where, you know, you try to do something, but there's just, you know, I mean, where do you start and how do you do it? Well, I didn't care about how I was going to do it. I just had it in my heart that I was going to do it. So I took that out to the law of attraction. I decided that I was going to do it. And every book that I sell, a portion of it always goes to Stay Neuter Efforts, because that was my way to contribute to the overpopulation, and I was going to be a part of the change. And I knew that we would have a no-kill shelter in the community. Now, I don't have $1 million to build a building. I don't have, you know, the money that they would need for me to fix this problem. And it was probably about 3 or 4 years ago that I started this whole campaign, and I went to the dog school in our community, and I told them what I was planning to do and showed them my book and what I was going to start to do. And it was almost like, they're really sweet people, and I'm very close to them. We're very good friends. But it was almost like they patted me on the head and said, well, isn't that a sweet idea, Midge? That's just really nice. And they just let it go. And Gary told me later, he said, you know, Midge, when you came up with that harebrained idea for Randolph County, he said, I thought, now, bless her heart, you know, he or she is going to just be so disappointed. Well, guess what just happened this year? This year, my passion was then planted 4 years ago into Gary's awareness. And this year, he founded a 501c3, or whatever those letters are, nonprofit, and we have established a Randolph County FPCA. He has gotten a building. We have raised enough money to have a spay neuter van that is a mobile unit that takes strays and other people's pets up to a place to be spayed and neutered at a low cost or no cost, and we are adopting dogs out, and in the next year or so, we will have our no-kill shelter in Randolph County.
Wow.
My bank account has not changed. I have donated money to this effort, but not to the rate that you would have expected us to have to donate to get this thing started. Are we there? Not yet. Not yet. But are we going to get there? You bet.
All right.
And why? Because we're doing it out of love. We believe it. We've cleared a lot of blocks to get here. And we also know that the universe finds a way. So what if it's not Mitch finding the building? It doesn't matter how it gets done. It matters that it is getting done. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The other cool story is, this, and as long as Nuge has been alive, probably because I had another life in the pioneer days, but I always wanted a log cabin in the mountains. It is my passion, and I do want it. And
okay.
So I got there to the law of attraction, okay? And I made myself this cute little mantra, and it says, I know the cabin is on its way, although I do not know the exact day. All I attract is meant for me, so I will stay happy. Happy, you see, in the state of abundance that flows in and out and in and out exactly the way my life is intended, without a doubt.
Ooh. Then,
I know, isn't that cool? I love that thing. So, and I've got it in my car. I've got it in my notebook. I've got it everywhere. I see it everywhere. And so this year, I had found some property several years ago. We got it paid off, and this year we're starting that log cabin.
Really?
I know. Wait till you see the pictures. I don't have any more money than what I started with 5.5 years ago. None. But everything continues to roll and evolve, and things come when I need it, and things happen. People got connected. I found also, I mean, it's just amazing how this works. Now, I'm not perfect at the law of attraction, but I must be pretty dang good because we've got the RSPCA going, and my cabin is getting built on that mountain.
Wow. Isn't that something?
That's awesome. But the journey that I had to take to get there was to let go of my own resentments and my regrets and my rejection. I am far from a perfect person. And I'm an Aries with a fiery, hot temper. And sometimes I have a really, it's something I'm still a work in progress on, and I have to rein it back, okay? But, you know, it's a double-edged sword. Passion gets things done, but it also can get me into a whole lot of trouble. So,
okay.
So I have to always work the program. You know, I have to work on myself. I have to clear the stuff that comes up. And I have to be really, really aware of what's getting in my way and what's blocking me. When things start to feel like crumbling, I've got to look at me. I don't look at anybody else. I don't look at what anybody else is doing. It's like, how did I disconnect myself? How did I fall out of love with me? How did I fall out of love with Source? What's going on? You know, what am I focusing on instead of staying connected, staying kind, staying positive, staying passionate? All right?
Oh, yes, Mary. I can bear witness to that. It's really, really important to understand that at the time we put the seed out there, we don't really know how the fruit will look. We don't know. You know, we're putting it out there. We don't know. We know what we'd like to have happen. I've done the same thing in my life also, and we don't know, but it's really something. When it appears, you know, that happened from the seed you planted.
Yes. Yes. And that's powerful. That's powerful. But a lot of times what we do is we get into the blame game. Well, you did this, so I had a right to feel this way. Well, it's not about being right. It's about being happy. You know, what?
Right.
You know, you gotta release what happens to you. And I love in your book when you talk about, you know, releasing that forgiveness is all about releasing your emotional attachment to another person. Because that's what it is. It's not about, and you say this eloquently in your book, it's not about forgetting what's been done to you, although that would be like the step above. That's the sage thing. If we could ever get to where, okay, whatever you do to me doesn't even get on me, it doesn't affect me, I don't remember it, I don't think about it, I've released it completely. But the baby step is that we will forgive the person, and the way to frame that in your head is not that you're saying what they did to you was okay, because it's not okay if someone injures, abuses you, or harms you. But
the forgiveness
is all about saying, I forgive you for not being able to know better how to treat me. You are not in a place where you know how to treat me. And I forgive you for not being there yet.
Right.
Because we got to remember that we're all on a spiritual journey, and some of us are infants, and some are toddlers, and some are, you know, really, really great big adults, but we're not all on the same level. So when somebody does something really hurtful to me and hurts me to my core, it's a very quick thing to be able to say to myself, okay, they would do better if they knew better.
Right.
I didn't deserve that. I don't deserve that. You know, and I can tell you, even from my own personal experience, that my own family member many, many years ago was so hurtful to me and just didn't believe in me, my life, my choice, you know, and they literally wrote me emails after emails, long, lengthy pages of I'm an abomination to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I can't be around the kids because, you know, I'm evil and all this kind of stuff. And, I mean, I was devastated. This
sure.
was not my finest moment because I shot a few ugly emails back. And
I
regret that. I regret that, you know. And so I had to work on that. And in your book, you talk about forgive the other person, forgive yourself, and release it. And I had to forgive myself for the part I played in that ugliness.
Yeah.
But now I know that neither one of us was spiritually at the level that we needed to be at to manage our disagreement. It's okay if someone disagrees with me. It's okay if somebody doesn't get me. What matters is that I get me and that I love me. And so when I was finally able to get to that place, then this is part of the work that I had to do, you know, to unblock my stuff, is to release resentment of a family member and also to forgive myself with the regret that I had for how I treated them back. But I can tell you that even though I worked on myself, it took probably 7 years before my family member would come around to me. It
5 years, you say?
Seven years.
Right.
I had a niece that had just been born, and she was 7 years old before I got to see her again.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so during that,
it was really painful. But during that whole time, you know, I had to get myself up to the right level so that I could, you know, forgive and release, and then understand that even if it had never turned itself around, ever, 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 I still had to get to a place where I could love that person unconditionally and not allow their choices to affect me. And that was hard, hard work. And there were days that even after I thought I had achieved it, I would, you know, the very next day something would happen and I'd be right back into my pity party, you know, of one and feeling really eyes and all that. But so, you know, it had this tug and pull for a while. You know, but now I know that they still don't really embrace me for who I am. I don't think they love me conditionally, but I know that we still love each other and we can still have a relationship that is more positive and more open. And so that's a good thing. You know, that's movement and that's growth. And the law of attraction is all about making sure that what I'm putting out there is what I want coming back. So the whole time I was tied to this person in a negative way, I was dragging myself down and being pulled into the past. Instead of being in my present, I couldn't be present because I was being jerked in the past, because I was holding on.
Right, of course, right.
If you hold on, you can't move forward.
Absolutely.
Hold on to a fence and try to take a step forward. It ain't going to happen.
yeah. And then you blame the fence.
Yes. Exactly.
So remember, right there, excuse me, I just want to bring, we have a caller on the air, one of we love callers, and this is from our good friend, Dr. Apple. Are you there?
Yes, I am, Nazim, and thank you, Midge Noble, again. What a great inspirational message you bring to all of us. In addition to your book, Nazim, Reconnected, both of you are deeply appreciated.
Thank you.
I will pass that along in the network with White Apple Institute. .org and let people know how precious both of you are for the work that you're doing. I just want to tell you that I agree that energy is so important, the energy that we put out there, that law of attraction is so important, and I'm really, really focused on helping my students understand that. How important it is. Mm-hmm. So thank you. Yeah.
You're more than welcome, more than welcome. And as many of you already know, I always repeat it on the show that the student to teacher, the student, the number two teacher show, which comes on the hour before mine, has some great, great insights and great way of kind of like a support system for veterans and also those who have you know, some kind of disability that they have. And it's real good. And it's good to kind of just hear, because sometimes you think that you have this problem all by yourself and no one has this problem like this but you. Your problem is so unique and no one has this issue but you. And when you find out that, it's many people have the same issue you're going through, they just didn't know. You didn't know about that. So her program is on, and so I think it's very important for everybody to tune in to her show as you prepare for the Reconnected show.
Thank you.
All right. Midge, and Midge, I wanted to tell you that also with the whole area of forgiveness is the big word is release right there, because sometimes people don't understand forgiveness. But the whole idea is we carry burdens. We carry heavy weights. We carry all this heavy armor around all the time. And we wonder how come we can't go at the speed we like to go. And it's all about just letting stuff go, you know,
mm-hmm.
letting it
yes.
go already. So when people hear forgiveness, think release.
Let go,
release.
Let go. Yes.
Let go. Release.
Let go.
You know, now someone did something harmful, you know, if they need to be punished, they need to be reprimanded. Yeah, sure. You got to call the police, call the police. All right. We're not talking about that issue. We're talking about the burden you carry with you, you know, and just release that and move on. And life is so much better. You feel lighter. You know, when you see the birds, you feel like, hey, I can fly with, like you can. Hey, let me join you. You know, I could join your flock. Hey, let me flap too, you know? Yeah, you can do it. Life is so much better, you know? And then you see other people, they carry stuff around, and it's so burden all the time. I've worked in mental health system for over 20 years, and I've had clients. Man, you know, they carry some stuff around. One guy was kind of bent over, young guy, in his mid-20s even. He bent over like he had those kind of like those dowagers back, you know, like some elderly people have. They're kind of bent over walking. And so he had his big cross. I don't mean to offend any of you Christians out there, but he had this big cross. Cross is about 6 inches or eight inches long. And so I said, well, hey, well, are you okay? Yeah, I got to walk like this. Who said you had to walk like that? Well, a guy carried his burden. Who said you had to carry that burden? What are you carrying anyway? What are you carrying? Well, I got to carry all the sins I've committed and all the sins of my father. I got to carry all those things. So who told you that? I said, let's do an experiment. Why don't you stand against the wall, you know, take your, you know, kind of take your burden off physically. We kind of took his cross off and said, now just straighten yourself against the wall if you can, as much as you can, and tell yourself, I can straighten up. I can walk straight. I'm worth standing up tall. I'm worth walking straight. I feel good. God has made me into a perfect mold. I'm wonderful. I feel good. I can be the best. I can walk with dignity. I'm a worthwhile child of God. I can do that. Try it. He says, well, I was told I couldn't do that. I'm saying you can do that. Do it right now, please. Please, please, a little bit. Just for a little bit, a few minutes. Well, okay. And he wasn't real good at it, but the little stride he made, he straightened up a little bit. And he smiled a little bit. I said, that by itself, I had a mirror. I said, see that? You changed a little bit. Now, if you keep going, then we only spent 5 minutes doing this. If you did this every day, you could straighten up all the way and be a different person. What do you think about that? He says, well, are you sure I can do that? Yes, you can. You just did a little bit of it right now. You can do it. Yes, you can. Tell yourself you can do it. Well, okay, then. I guess I'll, okay. You know, and so that's all we need sometimes. Sometimes it takes a word from somebody to say, or give you permission to think differently, to see your life differently, to release stuff. It's okay to do that. And too many times we've been told that we can't. Isn't that right, Mitch?
That's absolutely right. And that goes back to those generational messages that we've downloaded from, you know, our family members from the past and also from our current family members. If you get told enough that you look just like your father or you act just like your grandmother, then over time you kind of assume that, and you assume that personality or you assume that behavior. And I've had kids that will come in, and because kids model their parents, they'll come in and they will sit exactly like their parents. You know, they'll hold on to their belly just like daddy holds on to his. I mean, it's just like this sponge of how they just take on all of our mannerisms and our behaviors and our attitudes.
Yeah, so I know it.
I know. So that's why, you know, we talked about before with the Child Development Compassionate series that you have to watch how you model and what you model for your kids, because if they get the message from you that we will always be poor and we will never get ahead, you're setting them up for a whole other generation of lack. And if we want to attract awesome things to ourselves, we have to model that positive attitude. I love it when you started saying the I am statement, because that's powerful. You know, in the Bible, when Moses asked God, "Who do I tell them that you are?" "I am who I am that I am." Those are powerful words. And
very good point. I said the very good point. Yes.
And everything that happens right after that, I am poor. I am financially abundant. I am. Whatever comes after that is a script that we are writing into our law of attraction and energy, and we're sending it out there. And the more I say it, and the more I feel it, and that's the most important part. You can say it all day long, but if you don't feel it in your heart, if you don't feel it that you're abundant, then you're missing a critical part.
May I interject something, Midge and Nazim?
Sure.
I wanted to bring out that you make such a great point. I have a future show coming up that's going to deal with adult learners and those that have children. And when you talk about the factor that children model their parents, what's so important for many of the people that come my way as a counselor is that they're in school and trying to manage work and children schedules with family and that kind of thing. And when they drop out, and I mean drop out not only of school, of life, they drop out of interacting with each other, with interacting with their children, that their children are looking at this as a model. And that they are duplicating that. And so it is definitely going to impact future generations. If you're sitting, just for an example, if you're sitting at a table with your parent and your parent is texting or not listening to what you're saying because they have to get back to their social media group, okay, or they're encouraging you to go to school and you must go to school and finish, but then they have consistently dropped out of school. Okay, so I thank you for that modeling, that point about modeling, especially modeling the energy.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm glad you brought up the texting and the phone thing because, you know, when we're so distracted by technology, we're sending a message not only to the universe that we don't really care about what we're thinking about, but we're also sending a message to our children. You know, I had an experience the other day in a session where we made a huge breakthrough with a child, and she started to cry. And the mom was in the room, and the child is just bawling her eyes out. I waited probably about 5 minutes, and that was hard for me to do that. But I finally got up, asked the child to stand up. I pushed her chair over to her mom, and I sat her back down, and I said, "Let Mama hug you." Well, the mama did hug her, but then Mama's phone rang, and Mama started texting back to whoever was on the phone. And yes, her arm was still around her daughter, but I saw that daughter's eyes look over at that phone. So we have to make sure that when we are interacting with our kids and we're wanting them to be able to do what, you know, this focus in the moment and be mindful, because the law of attraction is all about being mindful and knowing what energy we're putting out there. we're not teaching our kids to be mindful. We're not teaching our kids to put something first. And what we need to put first is each other and ourselves.
Okay. Yes,
all this other stuff, all these other distractions are pulling us away from the goal we've set for ourselves, whatever that could be. So, you know, if I'm wanting this cabin on the mountain and I'm working toward that, I've asked the law of attraction for it, I'm expecting the universe to bring it to me, but I can't sit around and spend every dime of my money on this or that or something else. I do have
right.
to be mindful about contributing to my own attraction. It's
right.
not about sitting on my butt and waiting for it to show up at my door. I have a responsibility to be a partner in my co-creation. Co-creation
mm-hmm.
is all about partnering with God or Source or Yahweh
right.
and saying, okay, I'm going to be a, you handle this part because I don't know how it's going to come, so you just let it go. And then I'm going to do my part to show you that I'm serious about it.
Right.
So we all have to make those commitments. But when it comes to our children, you know, there can't be a distraction when your child is in pain. You need to make sure that you put them first and that they know it.
And that's so important there. And now also with that is to recognize the pain.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I've talked to parents before, and I would say after I know what the child's going through, after, you know, talking to the child first, and the parent would say, well, I don't see any pain there. What do you mean? There's no pain. What do you mean? There's no pain. Why didn't the kid say something to me? And they'll look at the kid like they want to, you know, they want to destroy them with their eyes. Why don't you say something to me if you're in pain? Why don't you say something? Why don't you speak up? And the child is so fearful that they can't. They don't know how to speak up. But look at the body language. You can look at them and tell they're in pain. You see? And so I would tell the parents, well, back up. Relax your ego. Put your ego out the door someplace. And look at your child. Does your child look happy? Does your child look like they're okay inside? Have you asked the child? Have you relaxed and really asked how are they really feeling inside? If they had a choice, what kind of choice would they make? Do you know what your child is thinking even? You know, those kind of questions. And I find it so incredible that the parents don't take time to do that.
Right.
So, boy, you know, so it really bothers me. Boy, this really gets me. So, you know, this is why it's so important to connect. To connect with your child. Connect to that space inside yourself in case you're not even used to expressing yourself. Connect to that place inside yourself that needing expression, needing to let others know how you feel, you know, and let it flow. Let yourself flow and allow the kids' expressions to flow so you can know how they're really doing, and then you can work with them. You know, whole idea is parenting is a partnership. You know, the children are helping you become a better parent, and you're helping the child become a better child. It's a two-way street. You parents, I hope your parents hear me. You know, it's not just a one-sided situation. You know, because you know, the children are you know, they're first angels from the womb. And they just came from Source recently, so they have so much knowledge and information. It's important for us to lend our soul so we can hear or let them share with us what Source is telling them. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. It does. So I think one of the things we have to show kids is how to release, you know, some of these things that they're holding on, because kids are being bullied in school. And, you know, there's lots of things that we need to learn how to release. This will set us up to attract great things into our life, but we first need to take it, you know, on the level where kids really are today. So if somebody in school is bullying our kids and something bad is happening, you know, in order to release it, we first have to, one, recognize that we have a right to our feelings, and that's okay. But the second thing we need to do is choose, do I want to hold on to this feeling, or do I want to release it? And we have to always ask ourselves that, because sometimes we just want to hold on to it for a little while. And if that's where we're at, it's not going to work if we say, okay, you just hurt me really, really bad, I release it. That's not going to work, because if you're not really committed and motivated to release it, so you have to ask yourself, do I really want to release it? If the answer is yes, then, you know, it's really important to visualize yourself doing that. So if you sit in prayer or meditation and you go deep inside and you allow, you know, your Creator to fill you with love and light, and then you visualize yourself surrounding that other person with God's love and light, and then you can verbally, it's out loud or in your mind, say to that person, I know that you would have treated me better if you knew how. I forgive you. I release it. Or I release you. And then watch that person accept your forgiveness and then let it go. And we really have to do this. We can't do it like in bulk releasing. You know, I make a list of people that I have regrets, resentments, and rejections about. And I go through each one individually in my time of meditation and prayer, because I have to honor each wound. I have to see it for what it was. I have to honor it. I have to put it in its place. And I have to sometimes, and what I do is I'm thankful for the wound, because it taught me something. And it was something that helped me get to my next spiritual level. So I don't see it as something that's being done to me. I try to frame it as something that I get to experience in order to help me. And that helps a lot. You frame it that way. And then you release the experience. Thank you. I learned from that. And thank you. I released you because I've got it. So, like, lesson learned. Check it off. Get out of here. Kind of thing.
Okay.
But that's very powerful to be able to verbalize that and to visualize that and then watch that pain leave. And there was I can't remember who did the meditation about it, but there's a peaceful meditation where you bring the person up on the stage, like you're in an auditorium, and you bring the person up on the stage, and you go through the process of surrounding them with love and light and releasing the memory or the pain that you had with them, and then you have them actually walk off the stage, so that that's a visual for you that it is leaving. And it's really, really powerful.
Okay.
Sometimes people will do fifth stand through their hands or something like that. You know, you're holding onto it and you just let it sit through your hands and then wash away in the water. Whatever works for you to make that really feel like a release. So when
and
your
also,
children,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, also something that reminded me of what Bishop T.D. Jakes said recently on Oprah's Life class. We was talking about capacity for love, and he was saying that some of us have a gallon capacity for love, others have a pint capacity for love.
Right.
And so then here we are, we're trying to work with this pint capacity person, wonder how come they don't have the same capacity we do, and trying to figure out, well, what's wrong with this person? Blah, blah, blah. And the idea that their capacity today is only a pint, you know?
Right.
And that's all they can give is a pint worth. That's all they have.
Right.
You see?
Right.
Well, forgiveness is the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so our idea is that we always like to look at increasing our capacity, but for the time being, the other person doesn't have the capacity presently that you do. It could be forgiveness. You know, you might say, well, I can release. How come you can't release? Well, today, right, this moment, they got capacity they're working with right now. You see, that's all they have. So you can't control their capacity. You can't control what they release. There, like those saying, go, that's their little red wagon, right? So that's up to them. You've heard that before, haven't you? and the whole idea is that we can't concern ourselves with their capacity, but it's about ours. As long as we can release, as long as we can move on, as long as we can still have love for the person. Remember, God's in everybody, you know, and you got the worst acting personality, the worst criminal, worst person out there, we're a serial killer, God's in everybody, so we have to, that's where unconditional love is. We love the God in them. We don't love what they do, no.
Right.
We love in them. So
right.
Because of that love there, we have to learn how to love them and release them.
Right.
You see? You know? Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that makes sense to everybody. You know? And by the way, right there, Mitch, I wanted to kind of put a pause there, and we have lots to talk about. Matter of fact, we covered forgiveness a lot. We can still talk about that, but we're going to continue this discussion on the next show, and we could actually call this Find Your Inner Magnet Part 2 next time. How does that sound?
Awesome.
Okay, that's it. Everybody heard that. So Find Your Inner Magnet Part part two will come up soon. Just stay tuned to the Reconnected Show by going to the our calendar. Now, our calendar only shows 3 or 4 weeks in advance. You can go there, which is blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. Or you can also, you can go to my, or email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com. Again, nrbookclub@gmail.com. And you can go on, I ask to be on my promo email list, and you'll know automatically when Midge will come on there. And you can do that. And you can go to my website, cloudsofabundance.com. And if you scroll down on the home page, you can actually sign up for my weekly affirmations that I give out there, also called my blogs. You can do that, too, and get your affirmations in the email every week, and hopefully that will help jumpstart your week there. So with that in mind, we're going to put a pause on the show. Oh, well, before I do that, I'm sorry. Midge, tell us about your show you have every week yourself, your own radio show.
Okay, so my show is called Second Chances. It's live every Thursday evening, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and we talk about positive things. We talk about people having a second chance, healing from cancer, being able to start over and do amazing things. Nassim's been on my show, of course, with his awesome mentor. So there's lots of positive feelings on my show, and it is a call-in show, 9 o'clock Thursday night. If you want to find it, you can go to my website, Midge Noble, M-I-D-G-E, Noble, N-O-B-L-E, secondchances.com, and find all of the things I'm doing on that website.
Mm-hmm. And how about your books there? You have a book on bullying, don't you?
Yes, it's called Ice Cube Award, Learning to be Cool Under Pressure, and it's a journey from getting really angry and getting in trouble for that and also being bullied herself. And she learns how to love and approve of herself and get control of her own emotions. And in the back of the book, there's a whole list of things for kids to know, like how to calm down, how to manage bullies, how to love yourself. And it's sort of like a good little tool for kids to see it in a funny way, but also to learn the message that, you know, we have to be in control of our choices. No matter what happens in our life, how we react is our decision, and we have to take responsibility for that. The other book I have is Sheba, Home is Where Your Heart Is, and it's a true story about a dog named Sheba that was found in a snowbank in the mountains of North Carolina, and she was abused and neglected, and she had to learn to trust and find her forever home, which she did. But her journey of how she did that. So support the fur babies.
How can they get those books now?
You can get it at my website, MidgeNobleSecondChances.com, or I'm also on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Okay, very good. And with Midge going to do, she'll go on my homepage on the blogtalkradio.com/reconnected, as she's done before, and she will put her website and her books there. And so if you miss any part of the show, you can always go there, scroll down under the ads, a bunch of ads there. Under the ads to the right, you'll see where it says comments. And so that's where you'll find information about my guests and how you can contact them and utilize their products and services. Okay, Midge, you can do that, right? Midge?
Yes.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Yes. You can, I would say you can, we have a senior moment.
I know, we
there.
Had a little
anyway.
Alien moment there.
I said, okay, I'll call it that then. Okay. So you will. You go on my homepage and you'll leave your information there again, can't you?
Yes, I can.
All righty. Very good. Yes, you can. All right. So with that, we'll close the show out. We thank her. We thank Professor Denita Applewhite with Applewhite Institute for joining in on the discussion of the show. And we also invite everybody to do what Dr. Applewhite has done and talk on the show. And if nothing else, just tune into the show and get what you can and download any show that you'd like to download. It's all free information, free therapy, and save your money, you know, and you can do it this way. And be happy, be joyful, and no matter what the current events are on TV, no matter what the news tells you, what really matters is what you tell yourself. That's what really matters. And so, therefore, when they give you all this horror and gloom and Armageddon and all that kind of stuff, ask yourself, how do you want to feel? What do you want to have happen in your life? And what do you really want? And focus on that and enlarge that, and the negative will go away. Why? It has no attention. You're giving it no audience. So keep that in mind. Focus on what you want. And when you do that, you'll find more of it appearing in your life. So with that, we'll close our show with a little Latin theme song. And feel free to cha-cha or salsa a little bit if you want to. And we'll see you next week. Thank you, Midge.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.